Living the Christian life isn't easy, is it? Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and today our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, encourages us to keep up the fight for the Christian life and then directs us straight from God's Word to 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. So if you're new to Through the Bible's family, I want to personally welcome you aboard the Bible bus and then assure you that no matter where you begin in these studies, you just stay with it and together we'll journey through the entire Bible in 5 years. Not very many people can say that. Now, Dr. McGee designed this systematic Bible study to jump back and forth between the Old and New Testaments so that God's entire Word is then woven together in a way that will help you understand the Scriptures in a deep, meaningful, and most importantly, an integrated way. Now, as you grab your Bible and open it to 2 Peter, I want to remind you that it is Letter Month here at Through the Bible. Now, Letter Month is a favorite tradition at Through the Bible, and let me explain why. It's a special time to share your stories. The letters that you offer, like a sweet fragrance to God, honor Him by telling others what He's doing in your life, and then it also encourages our entire listening family as we each walk with Him. Like this one from Ian in England. "I am an 87-year-old widower," Ian writes, "and I want you to know that being part of the World Prayer Team brings real joy and often tears when I read how God has found His way into the hearts of listeners all over the world, especially those who have accidentally stumbled upon your program. I am on about my 4th 5-year study and find the discipline of regular listening helps me to dive even deeper into the Word. I've also discovered I can contribute financially to Through the Bible as well as by prayer, which gives me even more joy. May our God continue to bless all of you physically as well as spiritually. Much love comes with this letter." Now remember, this is an 87-year-old man. Isn't that an encouragement? Thank you, Ian. And it really is a pleasure that you're willing to partner with us and then keep the Bible bus traveling around the world too. Now here's another letter. This is from a listener of our Chichewa programs. That's over in Malawi. "Our family follows Through the Bible each and every day from Monday to Friday. We listen with keen interest and appreciate the teachings. Recently, we listened as you taught the book of Revelation. The verses that have been difficult for us, you interpreted so well, and it is just wonderful and inspiring. I had problems in understanding the book, but now I am inspired to continue studying." Isn't that great? Here's another letter. This is an inspiring one from Tui in Nevada. "Hello. I have been on the Bible bus for a little over 2 years. I have no idea how I found your broadcast, but I heard Dr. McGee a few times on the Sirius channel, and I thought he sounded funny. At the time, I was not too interested in listening to him. So here I am now with the app on my phone, and I listen at least twice a day. I try to read my Bible verses before each lesson, like Steve says. It does really help. I also love to hear letters from all my brothers and sisters around the world. I am on the World Prayer Team and donate regularly to get the whole word out to the whole world." Well, thank you so much for your faithfulness in keeping Dr. McGee's lessons on the air, Tui. The letter continues, "I do so hope God will let us host a Bible bus meet and greet when we get home. I would love to meet everyone. I'm always in prayer for the team and my fellow bus riders." Well, thanks for your encouragement, Tui, and I agree. I hope we have a special meeting when we're all in heaven together. Our last letter comes to us from Roger in Orange, California. He writes, "I've been on and off the Bible bus since 1975. I find that the Word is very much alive each day that I tune in. It's not the ink on parchment or the squiggles of radio waves that I hear. It's a personal and current message from my Father for me each day. May God bless and continue to use Through the Bible." Well, thanks, Roger. And you know, that's our prayer as well, that each study is a personal and current message to you from the Father. So if our time together is helping the Word of God come alive for you as well, why don't you write and tell us your story? Email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or mail your letters to Through the Bible, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. If you listen in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C 6B1. And since both Ian and Tui mentioned how meaningful the World Prayer Team has been to them, I want to tell you how you can sign up for that as well. If you want to join our team, just go to ttb.org/pray or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE if you'd like some more information. You'll get an email every Monday through Friday with a quick background story of how Through the Bible needs your prayers, and then you can pray. It's a real encouragement to all of us, and we think it will be for you as well. Now let's pray as we commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of transformation that comes through the study of your Word. Speak to our hearts as we listen today and then help us apply your truth to our lives. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now here in 2 Peter, we've come back to the first chapter. We're moving very slowly, and this, of course, is being done purposely because of the tremendous message that we have here. And Peter is giving to us a list of characteristics, a list of certain attributes that should be in the Christian life. They don't come in all of a sudden. It's a growth. It's a development. And it is carrying out the injunction to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Now, we had seen that he began with faith, which is the very basis of our salvation. Then courage. We need courage. And then knowledge. And we're not apt to give out the knowledge that we have of Christ unless there is the courage to do it. And then to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, patience. And we saw that patience is actually endurance. And then to that, godliness. And that's where we left off last time. And godliness is godlikeness. It's to be like him. And I think there's a song that goes something like that. Oh, to be like him. Well, it's more than a song. It should be the desire of the individual who is a partaker of the divine nature. There is a time in every boy's life when his father is his hero and sometimes his God. And it's a terrible day when the father crashes the idol. And sometimes they do it. And that's when a boy sometimes grows bitter. Well, we are sons of God. And because of that, why, we want to be like our father. He's not only our hero, he's our God. He is the one we worship and praise. And godliness, by the way, has in it here that very thought of praise and worship of God. And the word itself means right worship. And it is a dependence upon God. And it speaks of a life that's devoted to him. Now, verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Well, we can make that a stronger word or expression than that. It's love of the brethren. We should love the brethren. That is, love other believers. And that is a wonderful thing. I've noted in letters today things that I'm sure that if I met these people personally, we wouldn't be apt to be quite as frank as they are. So many write in and say, well, I love you. Well, I can just say right back on radio, since you're not here, well, I love you too. We should love the brethren. And it's wonderful to have a very sweet and loving relationship with the brethren. Now, he says, and to love of the brethren, love. And that means, the way that I interpret it, love the sinner as God loves him. And that is, God loved him enough to redeem him. But God hates his sin and will judge it unless he does turn to Christ. And I take the position that when we talk about loving the sinner, we're not getting down on his level and participating in his sin. That we are loving him in the sense that we bring him the gospel. We need to recognize that that's the way that you reveal love today to the lost. Now, let's move on, verse 8 of chapter 1. For if these things be in you and abound. You see, Peter's not talking about the externalities of religion all the way through here. He is speaking of that which is inside the Christian. He's not speaking of rituals. He's not speaking of religion. He's not speaking of some liturgy that you go through. He's speaking of that which is in us. That's the reason he said that we've escaped the corruption of the world, because we are partaker of the divine nature. Now, that corruption is what's inside the human heart. Later on, he's going to talk about the unsaved, that is, the apostates, and they have escaped the pollutions of the world. That is, they go through a ceremony. They play church. They act religious. But the heart is not changed. Now, here, he comes right down to it and says, for if these things be in you, what things? Well, these things that he's mentioned up here, knowledge and faith and courage and self-control and patience and godliness and love of the brethren and kindness and love. All of these things are to be in you. Now he says not only in you, but abound. And here he starts in multiplying again, you see. He's great with mathematics, and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, barren, of course, here has to do with what I call the fruit of the Spirit. The word actually means idle. You see, you just can't have the fruits of the Spirit by sitting on the sidelines. It is the work of the Spirit. You can't work them up yourself, but you can't sit on the sidelines. And therefore, you and I are to yield ourselves to Him today. We are to present ourselves definitely to Him today and draw from the Lord Jesus Christ, for He's the vine, we are the branches, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, that has to do with these things that He's mentioned, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and self-control is in that list, you see. Now, he doesn't want us to be barren. We're to be fruit-bearing Christians. And then he mentions, nor unfruitful. Now, I think that that now has to do with that which is objective. Being barren has to do with that which is subjective, that which is internal. You sometimes meet Christians, and I'm sure you've had that experience, that they sounded very much like a tinkling bell and a sounding brass. They sound like hitting an empty barrel. Nothing in there. They're barren as far as the fruits of the Spirit are concerned. And fruitful means to be producing something. Does your life influence other people? Or, as I put it, are you getting out the Word of God today? Are you a partner with somebody today and getting out the Word? Standing with those that are getting the Word out. Don't be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, all of this rests upon the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're coming to a section where he's going to say that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, but that we are following a more sure word of prophecy. That is, the Word of God is that which gives us a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to show that that's a good, solid, real foundation today, that it's not something that's hanging out in space. It's not Beulah land that is hanging out there in space somewhere and somehow. It's not that at all. It is actually that which is a solid foundation. And that is where we come to know Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when the Spirit of God takes the things of Christ and show them unto us. Now he goes on to say in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, we're getting down to something that is quite important here, and that is the sterility that is in the spiritual life of many church members today and their lack of enthusiasm. It will lead eventually to the place where the believer will actually forget whether he's been saved or not. He'll not realize whether he actually was ever saved. And may I say to you, that is something that I believe today is very much needed in this day. Paul says that we should, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, which you like men, be strong. Let all things be done with love. Now, when he concluded 2 Corinthians, he says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate? This is a very strong statement. You're to examine yourself, whether you're to be in the faith or not. This idea today that you can live a careless life and still be a Christian and know it is just something that's impossible. You can be a Christian, but you sure won't know it. Or as someone has put it, a young preacher many years ago, I suppose 20-some-odd years ago, up at Cannon Beach in Oregon, said this to me one evening. He says, you know, Dr. McGee, there are many Christians that believe in the security of the believer, but they do not have the assurance of their salvation. You see, security of the believer is objective. Assurance of salvation is subjective. And he is saying here, he that lacketh these things, he's blind, he cannot see afar off, he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. He's forgotten that he's been saved. And verse 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, what he means is more sure. In other words, the security of the believer is objective. It is something that cannot be disturbed. But I'll tell you, your assurance can be disturbed by the life that you live. And one of the reasons that multitudes do not have the assurance of their salvation is the kind of lives they're living as Christians. You can't live a Christian life in sincerity and truth today and really have the assurance of your salvation. You're bound at night to lie on your bed and wonder whether you've really been born again or not. My friend, the Christian life is something very meaningful. It's something that you have to work at. Now, I've been married a long time, and I never have to lie awake at night and wonder whether I'm married or not. I know I'm married. Why? Because I've been working at it a long, long time, I tell you. And that is the same thing for the Christian life. Make your calling and election, here, brethren, make it more sure. That is, let it become subjective in your own heart to know that you're a child of God. Now he says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And it's always interesting to me is this, the number of Christians that get into sin, and I've talked to many of them, and I never yet have talked to one that had the assurance of his salvation before he got into sin. You see, when you lack that, you haven't a foundation in under you. You're flying in space, and you don't know whether you're going or coming, and you don't know whether you're up or down. You know nothing at all, to tell the truth. You have no assurance whatsoever. Now, verse 11, he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Peter will put an emphasis not upon the rapture, but of the coming of Christ to establish his kingdom here upon this earth. We've already seen that. Why? Well, we're going to find out down just a few verses, and that is, and I'll drop down and pick up the verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. You know, Simon Peter is one man, one Christian, who did not look for the rapture and knew that he would never live to the rapture. Why? Because the Lord Jesus told him that he was to die a martyr's death. And this man was crucified. And he says he knows shortly that I must put off this, my tabernacle. And that's a wonderful way of speaking of death. That is, this body you and I live in is called a tent. Paul calls it that. Peter calls it that. And he's just going to put it off like it's a garment. He's going to move out. And we're all going to move out if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime. One of these days, we'll move out of this body that we're living in this presence. Now, Simon Peter knew he was going to do that. So he speaks of the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because there's no rapture ahead for him. Now, verse 12, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth. Now, in view of the fact that he was going away, he could say to them, I'm doing this. I'll not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. In other words, this man, he felt called upon to stir up these saints to grow in grace, lest spiritual senility set in. And there are Christians today, and I'm sure you've met them, that are actually spiritually senile. They're doddering and tottering around today, and they don't even seem to have all of their faculties, and they don't have all of their spiritual faculties at all. Now, these are tremendous truths he's giving. Now, he says in verse 13, yea, I think it fitting, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, he says it's fitting as long as I'm in this tabernacle. That is something that is quite interesting. The word that we have, I think it meet, but it's fitting. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of these things. Now, here again, we have a great truth that's given to us in this verse here. Now, you have that word know again, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle. But he says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, why, I intend to stir you up about these things. Now, the very wonderful thing that we have here is this, that the gospel messages we're going to see is not fables, and it was not something that men thought up to deceive others, and it's based upon the death and resurrection of a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole Christian faith today rests upon him, and our knowledge of him rests upon the Word of God. Now, he's going to come to that, and we'll be able to see that next time. This is, without doubt, one of the most important sections that we have in the entire Word of God. I have gone over it with a fine-tooth comb in order that you and I might know these things. Now, he speaks of his decease here, verse 15, after my decease. You see, he doesn't call it death at all. We're going to talk about that next time. Death, as we think of it, for a child of God, is, as someone has put it, for a Christian, a grave is that which has a door on it that leads to the other side. And certainly that's what we have here. His decease, the word he uses, means exodus. In other words, he's just moving out of this house down here, this tabernacle. He's just putting it off as if it's a garment, and he's making an exodus. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Dr. McGee said, this is without a doubt one of the most important sections in the Word of God. And that's a pretty great teaser for tomorrow's broadcast, too. I hope that you'll join us and invite a friend to come along with you. Today, Dr. McGee spoke quite a bit about how to be sure that you're saved. So if you'd like to know more about this topic, then I'd suggest a booklet by Dr. McGee called How You Can Have the Assurance of Salvation. This little booklet is based on a sermon that he gave from 1 John, a book written to provide Christians real confidence in their faith in Jesus Christ. If you want to download it, it's free. You can visit our resources section at ttb.org and click on free booklets. And then while you're there, why don't you be sure and also check out this month's featured booklet titled The Not So Bad Sin and How It's Keeping You from God. It's based on the Old Testament book of Obadiah. Dr. McGee takes an in-depth look at what pride is and the devastating consequences that it can have in our lives. Again, The Not So Bad Sin and How It's Keeping You from God is available for free download at ttb.org. Or if we can help you find it or any other resource by Dr. McGee, call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you call, please be sure to let us know how you listen to Through the Bible. Online, by app, maybe on your favorite Christian radio station, or the Bible Bus flash drive. We want to know. As we've said before, this little bit of information really is a huge help as we seek to be good stewards of the resources that God has so faithfully provided to this ministry through faithful friends like you. I'm Steve Schwetz, grateful for your company on the Bible Bus and your partnership in taking the whole Word to the whole world.
Jesus made it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.